shit. Say some words, Lee.
Now we got it.
All right, here we go. Fuck, we don't know what the hell's going on. The sound. I give Lee a hit of some fucking wax, and look at him. He falls apart. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Wednesday, what is it today? The 13th of February, a day before Valentine's Day. If you're broke, you ain't getting no pussy because you're 24 hours away. You know what I'm saying? I've been there. I know what it's like to be broke on Valentine's Day. You got to steal a purse. You got to hit somebody in the head with a rock. But fuck it. It's on today. Hit it, Lee. Let me see a little wiggle for Papa. Let me see a little genie. Sadly, little genie like this. Look. Put your hands like this, little genie like Travolta. Oh, shit. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. The church of what's happening now. Joey Diaz, his main man, Lee Syatt, a.k.a. the flying fucking Jew of love. I hear you. What's happening, brother?
Not much. I feel great, man. I'm happy to be here.
You were moping around this morning like somebody took your fucking yarmulke. You're telling me you're tired. You ain't got time to be tired, though.
I haven't slept the past 2 nights, and I'm fucking ready. I don't know, man.
Excuse me.
I just woke up.
Let me tell you something. Lee burped before.
I didn't burp. That was you.
I smell it all the way over here. It smelled like bacon and dead fucking shoes combined. What'd you eat? A fucking homeless fucking...
I haven't eaten for a few hours.
What was the last thing you ate?
I had a ham sandwich at work.
It was any good? Did you make it yourself?
No.
You bought it out of the machine?
No, there's no machine. I got it from Subway.
Subway. A ham sandwich. Made out of fake fucking turkey. This is what I'm talking about. You're slipping, though. That's what happened. That's what happened to the sound. You ate a Subway sandwich. You're going down.
The Subway sandwich didn't have anything to do with the sound.
It's a beautiful day to be alive. L.A. residents, you can rest. The black cop is dead. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Jesus.
What a fucking nightmare that was. They interrupted my Maury Povich. They interrupted fucking everything to say this guy was in a hut. He lit it on fire. I think they fucking iced him. It was weird, but who gives a fuck got nothing to do with us? You know?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I feel sorry for the families. I feel sorry for the fucking couple he shot in the beginning. The young girl and the young guy that were getting married had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it on Super Bowl Sunday. He fucking shot him gangland style in that fucking car. So, you know, the guy's no fucking innocent. People don't forget that the guy's no innocent, whatever. You don't kill somebody because you're mad at some guy. But things happen. He's captured. He's dead. What happened?
No. I was just saying LAPD was really creepy about it. They're fucking burning down the house. They didn't want this guy to talk at all.
No. Dead men don't tell tales. Always remember that, people. Dead men don't tell tales. That's the lesson of the fucking day today. You understand me? And I knew he had a tale to tell, so.
Oh, yeah. He definitely did.
Dead men don't tell tales. That's the number one. So if you're going to fucking get into an argument with somebody, you might as well kill him and nobody will find out what the fuck you're talking about. That's like when Finney died. When Finney died, I was very sad, but at the same time, I was happy.
Why?
For about 5 minutes, because Finney seen me do some creepy fucking shit. He seen me jerk off with fingers up my ass. He did blow with me.
Well, now you're just telling everybody.
Huh?
Now you're just telling everybody. Well,
what are you going to do? But what are you going to do? He goes on 60 minutes. What happened if one day fucking cats could just talk? And this motherfucker went on 60 minutes, sweating up bullets and shit like that.
I think you need to put whatever is in that... that joint down.
I hear you. It's Wednesday fucking morning. Leland. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Listen, whatever the fuck's going on in your life, get out there. Get out there. The fucking sun's shining. It's a little cold. So what? Penguins are out there. Get out there. Don't talk to me about job. Let me tell you what happened to me this fucking week. Let me tell you how. My ear's better. But Monday, I said, fuck it. I just can't sit here. It was the last day of the antibiotics. I said, I'm going to go over to kickboxing. I go over to kickboxing. I'm having it. What happens is when you have this ear infection, when you have any type of ear infection, it kicks in like, what's that shit where you get dizzy? I forget what it's called.
Oh,
Bago, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, my mom has it.
It's a movie from Alfred Hitchcock. Vertigo.
Vertigo, yeah.
Vertigo. You get like this little vertigo. But the other thing you get is that all the sounds sound far away. Like I have 3D hearing the last week.
Well, it's because there's some liquid in your ear.
Right.
And it gets out of sync, so it's probably just...
Right, it's fucking terrible, so... I went to kickboxing Monday night, and I'm in there flying through the fucking air, and that's okay. You know, I'm having a hard time because I hadn't been for a week. I couldn't breathe. And I'm getting it together, and they matched me up with this fucking kid who forgot to put deodorant on.
Oh, yeah, he
was some fucking, I don't know from what Asian country he was from, but it smelled like fucking goat. I swear to God, every time he threw a punch at me, I got the whiff of the fucking armpit, and it was just horrendously bad. And then yesterday morning, I said, let me go at 10 in the morning, because that Monday night, what I was going to do is I was going to go in the morning and see how it felt and then go to the doctor. I was going to go to acupuncture anyway at 1:30. So I said, if I go at 10 and I get dizzy, I'm just going to go right to Toluca Lake Medical Center there. They have SAG, Screen Actors Guild. So I went over there at 10 yesterday. Again, they put me up with a kid at 10 in the morning. This kid was raw. He was black, and he forgot to put deodorant on. And I got armpit, I got black T-shirt, and I got bad breath on every fucking... Like, it was a nightmare.
I'm surprised you didn't say anything.
You know what, man? He seems like a nice kid. I was embarrassed. Like, it would embarrass me to have to say something to somebody, you smell like a fucking goat, you know, because it's not my job. I mean, all you can do is bear with it and pray for the motherfucker. But let me explain something to you. Guys, if you're one of these guys that thinks it's cute to leave the house without showering and shit, put deodorant on in the morning. Nobody needs to smell that shit. Nobody needs to smell that debt that you have on your breath and on your fucking armpit. And for you ladies who I see at Starbucks with the fucking thing on your head that you haven't washed your fucking hair and your pussy that morning, get your shit together. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You understand me? If you don't wash that pussy, you're going to go to hell. If you don't wash those balls or wash yourself or put deodorant on or Listerine, you're going to fucking... And I got bad breath. We all fucking do in the morning. But you got to do the best you can to fight it. I Listerine and I drink coffee. I brush my teeth in the shower. I brush my teeth afterward. But I put deodorant on. I wash my balls. I put powder. Lee, you know what I'm saying? Lee's a clean fucking dude. He's a swinger.
I try to be.
You got
to
be. You got to fucking be. How can you go like that? Live your life with that armpit fucking onion coming out of your... It's always driven me fucking crazy, Lee.
It's terrible. And when I used to wrestle, kids, you couldn't really shower before practice. You'd have to run from the end of school right to practice. And there were some kids who just... I mean, it's understandable, but after a full day of school... And
it's like going to jiu-jitsu. If you put that rotten ass on my face, I would have a fucking heart attack. Or if I had to smell a dirty toe, I would have a fucking heart attack because I don't need that shit in my life. I would always go to those things and shower. I would make time or figure it out where I could at least be showered to give my fucking guy I'm training with the respect that he deserves, you know? You got to give fucking respect before you get respect.
Yeah.
That's what people never understood. I always understood. You know, you got to let people know you're in their fucking corner. Anyway, beside that, let me see what else is going on. You got Donna. You got the fucking thing. You got I'm going to be 50 on Tuesday, Lee. God damn, I outlived Whitney Houston, eh?
What do you think about? Because you've said before you didn't think you were going to hit 25 or...
Come on, fucking Lee. You know, if you think I was going to hit any of this shit in my heart that you thought, I mean, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're fucking crazy. I never even dreamed of 50. I mean, it's shocking. It's amazing that God does have a sense of humor and life has a sense of humor. Because I didn't expect any of these things the last 2 years. The CD going number one. I just, you know, the wife and having a baby. I thought that fucking ship had sailed. You know, I was driving over here and I was at the light over on Laurel Canyon. And I was thinking about my wife, like why women get pregnant. You know, Joe Rogan first got his wife pregnant.
Okay.
And then you're talking about a guy, Eddie Bravo, who I love dearly. He's like a brother to me, and I love his wife. But this Eddie Bravo guy was never going to have a steady girlfriend or get married. He was crazy.
Yeah.
Not only did he meet the girl of his dreams and marry her, but then they had a fucking kid. And then my friend Damon, who used to do the Joey Karate videos
okay.
with me, I've known Damon, you know, since I worked on Scare Tactics with him. His wife was... had a baby also, Dominic. Big motherfucking kid. I mean, gigantic fucking baby. Looks like a small man. So, it was sad that I would go to their homes and see them pregnant, and I would see my wife as the odd woman out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be painful for a woman to sit there with three women or two women that have kids or other women that have kids, and here you are in your 40s with no kids. It was killing her.
You
it
think had so?
To be yeah, it kills everyone. Women are made to bear fucking children, bro. They don't know it. They'll keep saying that. And the ones you meet that say, I hate children, those are the ones that are going to fucking bear 19 of them once they have them, just like me.
Yeah.
I hate the children because I knew once they're around me, I love them. When a child's around me, bro, I want to make them feel how people made me feel when I was a kid. Because before my mother died at that bar, I was the fucking king. You know,
yeah.
And one thing about I tell stories about my mother smoking dope and drinking. But one thing my mother did was she instilled the heavy duty fucking confidence. Did you see Did you happen to see the show on UFC about Ronda Rousey, the first episode?
I did see that with her father.
With her father dying. Did you see what she said in the middle, that her father gave her a lot of confidence? That he would always say she was going to be the sleeper. And that's big when you're a parent. When you're a parent, you have to tell your fucking kid they're going to be president. You have to tell your kid they got the biggest dick in the class. You have to tell your kids these things. You have to, because if not, they're going to walk around. It's not the time spent with them. You got to let them know. And I tell you, that's one thing that my mother had, a quality that she would say, you know, blah, 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 you're going to do great. I would tell my mom something. And after a while, she always instilled confidence in me. But it's so big as a parent to tell your fucking kid or your wife or your friends, because I'm the most insta-fucking-cure guy in the world. After we do a podcast, I ask you how it went.
Yeah.
When I do stand-up, I drive home depressed, even if fucking people laugh. You know, I'm as insecure as they come. But it's amazing how you have to take your children and the people around them and tell them, man, you're a fucking savage. You really are.
Yeah.
And not lie to them. I don't believe in lying to fucking somebody. But if a guy that's 100 pounds overweight is next to you at the fucking gym, going pound for pound with you jumping jacks, and he takes a break off or something, I always applaud those fucking guys. This is a gym, Gold's Gym,
yeah,
in Hollywood. You know where it is? On Gower?
Gower and what?
That, it's in that area. Not Gower, but it's around that area, Western, Gower, whatever the fuck it is.
Okay.
And the real crazy thing about that gym is a friend of mine, when I was like 500 pounds, gave me a free subscription there. She worked there. She was the beginning of the... she moved to New York. She's a comic. And one day she used to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me. She goes, Joey, you know, you could come in there and work out whatever you want. I'll cover you. It's well known that it's a fucking full-blown Gold's Gym, but it's gay.
Oh, if it's in West Hollywood.
Right. Yeah. It's really fucking gay. But let me tell you something about that gym. And besides, I went there a couple times. And then she gave me like a 3-month subscription, and I went every day for a while. I didn't know what I was doing. But those gay guys... I mean, the whole 390 days I went, yeah, there was 2 or 3 creepy fucking gay guys in there that came over and tried to touch you like, well, you know, let me help you do this. But for the most part, bro, the gay guys would come over and go, hey, I don't know what your name is. I appreciate that you're in here. If you need anything or if you're having a hard time, yell and we'll come over and help you out.
Oh, nice.
That's really nice that somebody would say something like that. That's why when I make gay jokes or fags, I don't mean this shit. I know they're just human beings and they do what the fuck they do. It's just an easy fucking target for momos like me to make fun of fucking gay guys, but I don't really mean it in my heart. But did you know that, man? I mean, you know the gym on Santa Monica? After La Cienega, on the other side, as you're going west into the ocean, that there's a gym there.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking gym there is completely gay, but they have like a milkshake stand there. Oh my fucking God. Oh, what are you laughing about?
A milkshake stand?
You think they stand there and whack off in the milk? Let me tell you, this fucking milkshake's in there. They make like Metarex protein shakes and all bananas in them, chocolate banana shake.
Okay.
That will make your asshole turn you gay. Like, it's so good, you'll say, you know what, somebody please put a fucking cock in my ass. This is, it can't get no better than this. I swear, it's just hard to park there.
Oh, it's impossible.
It's impossible to park there. But 20 years ago, 10 years ago, when I moved to Hollywood, I had auditions, and I'd go in there, and I'd always fucking get myself a little chocolate banana protein shake. Fucking delicious. Delicious.
Okay.
And there's a hamburger stand down the corner.
Jesus.
They fry the hamburgers. Fucking, I'm telling you. They call it Boys Town. I don't give a fuck. I don't call it that. I call it Santa Monica. When I go down there, I don't even know what it's. Excuse me. This Diet Pepsi gives you burps. It's by La Cienega, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I mean, you make fun of gay people, but it's not like you don't make fun of everyone.
I don't make fun of gay. Listen, I got the 2 transvestites across the street from me. I get along with them great.
Transvestites?
Transsexuals. You never seen them across the street from my house?
Maybe I haven't.
They're both burly. Nice. She's always wears like a, he always wears like a whatever. He has long hair. He's ready for action at any time. He's ready to put a wig on at any time. I talk to them every fucking day. I talk to them every day, and I even tell them, go suck a cock. You know, they giggle at me because they came by the other day. They go, we got 2 printers. You want to buy one? The fuck? You people got 2 of everything. They had 2 cameras last month. I mean, they, she's not working. Somebody's not working in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they're having a hard time. Somebody got disabled, and somebody's not working. But they're 2 of the coolest fucking dudes in the world. I think she did the half of surgery. She's got the tits and no pussy. And he doesn't have the surgery.
Okay, that's the one.
So I don't fucking make
sorry
fun
for
of
making them. The noise, but yeah, that's the one thing that freaks me out.
No, why should it freak you out? They decided one day they don't want to fucking cock no more.
No, there's nothing.
They don't want to sling dick no more. Anything wrong with that cocksucker? It's Wednesday, motherfucker. February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. Let me tell you, motherfucker, something. This is the last time I'm going to tell you this because I hate talking about this shit. But let me tell you. Let me explain this to you. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. You live all year. You got a girlfriend. Let's say you started dating her a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever. I tell you what, when I was young, I would date these girls. And sometimes I'd get them something for Valentine's Day, something I wouldn't. You know what? What's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you to make a good impression? Okay, tomorrow, today, right now, right fucking now. What are you making noises for like that? Like a fucking motorcycle.
What?
You made like a, like a fucking motorcycle. Here, go to Cherry's Berries. That's where you go, right? Here's where you go. You can either do this. You call 866-FRUIT-02. Okay, but even better, fuck all that shit. Don't even pick up your phone. You might be on the phone with your bitches right now. Go to berries.com. And here's how you spell berries, because a lot of you are fucking retarded. B-E-R-R-I-E-S. Berries, all right, .com. Go over there. Look at this half dozen cherries. That's the one I sent yesterday. I sent everybody a half dozen for that. Not you, cocksucker.
Oh, come on, man.
You don't
man.
Need no cherries. You need a black cock dipped in white chocolate. you like that, cocksucker. It's on the sense of a freak, I know. Anyway, yeah, you click on the fucking microphone. Happening. How do you spell happening, Lee?
H-A-P-P-E-N-I-N-G.
This guy's a college fucking graduate. You know why I'm scared. Go to berries.com. Click on the microphone. Type in happening. The offer ends today, Wednesday. I don't know what it is. Just get 6 fucking chocolate-covered strawberries. Send it to the chick. What's it going to cost you? You eat 2 of them. She eats 3 of them. You take the other one. You stick it up her asshole while you're eating her fucking pussy. And it gets nice and glazed. And you pop that white chocolate with that pussy juice on it, Lee. What would you do, Lee? What would you do if you ate a little piece of fucking strawberry covered with white chocolate?
My yarmulke would spin around. And
oh,
have to
like
go have
and fuck
one.
It would just spin around like a helicopter. And shit, you know what I'm saying? Go to berries.com. Order the fucking berries. Something else. It's February 15th or whatever the hell fuck it is. My flu is gone. They had it went in my ear, but then I got sick on the plane. I'm telling you what. My wife, I have the neighbor next door, I gave him, because I have, like, little fucking people I make case studies on. My name, sure, you never know. Did I tell you I gave the fucking stewardess on the way out? I was eating pretzels, those THC pretzels that are strong.
You didn't give a stewardess
a... Yes, I fucking did.
Oh, poor lady.
She ate 3 of them, and I was going to say something to her. So on the way back from whatever, but I'm also scared because she might fail her drug test, and then she got no job. That I feel bad about. I had 3 pretzels, and she goes, where'd you get those from? Is that those our pretzels? I go, no, these are better. She goes, can I taste them? I was going to tell her no. They got THC in them. This bitch ate one, and she goes, they're pretty good, and they're vegan. Those Auntie Dolores pretzels,
okay.
They're delicious, and they're fucking stronger than death. I'm going to get a bag at 10 o'clock they're so fucking
actually, strong. I'm going to have to search the news now for flight attendants fucking passing
fuck
out.
Fuck those board. Shitty pretzels. She's eating those shitty fucking pretzels. What am I going to do? I got to eat the good shit I got. You know what I'm saying? It's time to smoke some reefer. I'm smoking this vapor pen here. This is a different one than the usual. This was given to me by my boys up there, Ziggy's 209. They gave me that you put the fucking wax in. This shit, people hate it because it fucks up your lungs. We got illegal substances in this motherfucker here today, Lee.
Oh, shit. But before we talked about the stewardess, you were talking about on it.
Lee, this is why I love you. Because not only are you the flying Jew, you're the Jew that pays attention. the guy next door said he feels better since I gave him the shroom tech and that he's been doing the alpha brain. You know, listen, when I first started doing blow, when I was 15 or 14, for the first year I didn't get off. But in those days, the cocaine was marketing was done to make you feel like a better human being. The marketing that was done, listen, every drug in the fucking 70s, listen, a nickel bag cost $5. Okay. Heroin cost $7. Acid cost $4. You know what cocaine cost? $100 a gram.
Jesus.
You know why they, and the marketing was genius. The marketing was fucking genius. Because what they made you do was feel like a better person. It wasn't the high. Nobody said to you the cocaine high. Because you sniffled and put you in a different class of people. That's what cocaine did. That's what the $100 bill did. For 1 hour, you became a movie star. If you watched the movie Blow,
yeah.
They said it's accepted by rock stars and athletes. That's what they wanted, because in the back of your mind, that's what it made you feel like. You're important. You go to a club, and chicks would come out snorting, and people would look at them like, oh my God, they're so special. It was crazily. It was fucking crazy, and it's very hard to explain.
Yeah,
it's
it doesn't make sense.
The greatest marketing skill of all time was to convince this country that cocaine was worth $100 for a gram of coke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a gram looks like, Lee? Do you have any fucking idea?
It must be small.
Millions. People made millions on that shit. But my point is that I didn't get off on it. The first year, I was doing all these crimes, me and Didi Quintero, and doing this and this, and I didn't fucking get off on it. And one day, I started drinking alcohol with it, and I started getting off on it. I still get fucking twits sometimes. Hey, man, I bought the Alpha Brain. It didn't do anything. It's not going to work for everybody. That's why it comes in a small dose at first. You can even buy it in singulars. Try it for 20 days or whatever. If you don't like it, send it back to Joe Rogan. He'll send you whatever the fuck you want back, a barbell, a fucking hair. He'll send you something. So, please, don't hit me back like I'm the fucking bad guy here. Not everything works on certain people, but at least you tried it. There's something from on it that's going to work for you. You know what? I stopped taking the Alpha Brain. I take it in groups, but I opened up a new fucking protein this morning. Lee, wait till you taste the chocolate protein. You're going to go, Joey, this isn't a protein shake. This is like a sweet. No, this is a fucking protein shake. What I do is I stay on a protein powder for like 30 days, then I switch it. I have two or three different types of protein. People send me shit. They want me to try shit. I got to give them the benefit of the doubt. If somebody sends me a protein powder or they send me a vitamin or something, I try them, because why not? You know, why not? You don't know what's going to work for you. Please, people. Onnit's one of the best fucking products I've used. Go to Onnit.com. Get the Shroom Tech Immune. Get the fucking hemp protein powder and get the strong one. You jump up and down. Lee, you got to swing by and pick up the shit.
I saw you yesterday.
You put fuck, but you didn't come by the house, cocksucker. We meant to get coffee. So go buy Onnit. Go to Onnit.com. Get the hemp protein. Try it. Get the smallest size. Get the fucking Onnit immune and get yourself the strong bone. You go jump up and down on your feet. I guarantee your feet don't hurt. That's it. We're going to leave it right there, Lee. Lee, where's the music, cocksucker? You don't play no music for your Uncle Joey. Where's the reefer? You got it hitting like, you know, little AC/DC. What's next to the motherfucking moon with Bon Scott or Power Age? Tremendous jam, Lee. A lot of people don't know about this. Getting bought down the line. Oh shit. You gonna get some of this, Lily?
Is there any left, or is it your tiny little roach?
It's a big number for you. Enter me wishing he was home in bed. Dream about Casey Jones. Oh shit. Little AC/DC Power Rage before Highway to Fucking Hell. Let me tell you something, they're doing a movie about Bon Scott finally. A lot of you motherfuckers don't know the power and the pizzazz. I seen AC/DC opening up for fucking Ted Nugent at the Garden August 4th, 1979. Here we go. Superman was out of town. Superman was out of town. Who fucking writes like that?
Guns N' Roses. I don't even back, sorry.
No, this is fucking AC/DC.
This is AC/DC, Jesus.
This is
Christ.
Power Age, the fifth album out of Australia.
Give me a fucking song.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a suicide. Oh shit. It's in love when I want. What else, Lee? You're sitting there with the fucking beard, you're looking like the guy from Seinfeld. You're stoned, you're not stoned. What do you got going on this
week? Which guy from Seinfeld?
I don't know, a little fucking Jewish guy.
Oh, George.
It's a beautiful day to be alive. Get up, get out there. It's the day before Valentine's Day. I was thinking about 85 when I lived alone for fucking the whole year. It was the year before I was getting ready to come to Colorado. I remember being by myself. I was fucking alone for Valentine's Day a lot, Jack. A fucking lot. I'm an ugly dude. A lot. I only had, like, if I'm 50 next week, I probably had, like, you know, beside my wife and, you know, because nobody wants to be alone on Valentine's
no.
Day. But fucking, you're alone on Valentine's Day. We got this little broad here staying with you. You got to rub that helmet on her face when she's sleeping.
She's my friend.
She won't believe we're all friends. But a little sukala mink never hurt nobody. You got to wake her up, put that little dick in her face, and just rub that little little Jew yarmulke on her face, and she'll wake up. What's this, Lee? You know what it is, cocksucker.
I don't think that's what most people want on Valentine's Day, but who knows?
Listen, what would you rather do? Be lonely or wake up to somebody rubbing your face with a cock?
Be lonely.
I'm not saying, like, if you were sleeping on the couch right now and some chick crawled in through the window and rubbed that monkey on your face.
Well, that's different.
Even if she weighed 482 pounds, you'd suck that fucking monkey and tap it just because it's Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a romantic in me. I don't think girls think the same way.
Well, you can buy a chocolate later on. Later on, you go over there like Cupid dressed up with a diaper and a fucking bandana on and you give her some chocolate.
Okay.
Nobody wants to be alone on Valentine's Day, but it's not the end of the fucking world, is what I'm trying to say, people. Go to a movie, entertain yourself. Next year, you'll have a Valentine's. Trust me. You can't be fucking single for the rest of your life. You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to die like Charles Bronson. Good fucking luck. Who wants to die alone? You know what I'm saying?
No.
Nobody wants to die alone. I like these people. I want to be single. Yeah, good fucking luck, my friend. There's nothing like talking to somebody in conversation. This is not all about fucking all the time. I talk to some people nice, and I love talking to my wife. Believe it or not, I like talking to her sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the fucking times.
Did you do the trick when you were young that you would break up with girls right before Valentine's Day or Christmas?
No.
No, you didn't do that?
What am I, some fucking puke? You know, I was lucky to have a date. If somebody was willing to look at my dick, I'd do anything. You know what I'm saying? If somebody's looking to look at your dick, you do fucking it. Let's give some shout outs to some bad motherfuckers out there. My main man, the Podcast Pit, always out there. My man, Todd, Extreme Pain, Just James, 20cc, J.D. Souther, Raider Dave, Derek Sproul, Duff, Sam Mika, and my man, James Kennemore. I love you cocksuckers. Let me tell you what happened to me the other night, Lee, because I love when this happens. That's why I love the fucking computer. I love when I'm at home at night, and I'm writing, or I'm returning emails, and I take 30 minutes. After like 45 minutes, I know to get off the computer.
Okay.
Because it's the law of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. You're not going to, for me, for some people, they might last an hour and a half writing material. If I see myself for an hour and I've written two things on a fucking piece of paper for comedy, it's time to get up and do something else. It's not going to happen. I sweat it out sometimes because I know if you read The Art of War, not The War of Art, The War of Art, there's two different ones. It tells you that you always have to not give up. You got to hang when you're writing. You got to stick it out in there because the last 5 minutes is when you'll get three or four jokes. So, I don't know. I get fucking bored. You know me. And I click on to YouTube. And for some reason, I click on to Guns N' Roses, Live from the Ritz. Don't click on to it yet.
Okay.
88. And I put it says full concert. Remember when we were looking for it this morning? It says full concert. And I put the full concert on, I put my earphones on, I smoked some fucking half a number, and I got something to drink, and I came back, and I put, did what I did. I'm sorry to say it backwards. I'm high. Fucking Lee, stop getting me high in the morning, cocksucker. You're a bad influence. I'm going to call the Jewish Antitrust League. And I started listening to this concert and watching it. You know, I ain't gonna lie to you people. I'm a big motherfucking fan of The Song Remains the Same. I'm a big motherfucking live fan of Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii. There's some live shit you could just never duplicate. You could never. I'm a big fan of Unleashed in the East by Judas Priest. It's brilliant. Nobody puts a live fucking album out today. Nobody, because it's tough. It's tough to maintain that shit. Let me tell you something, guys. When I put it on the other night, when I put on Sweet Child of Mine and put it on Twitter, I don't know what time it was, I got 50, 60 people responding to me with different responses, and all of them were correct. But everybody gave the majority of responses I got was people saying that it was a brilliant concert because it was good and bad at the same time. Fucking click on to Sweet Child of Mine, this guitar. You've seen the video. Now, it's pretty tough to sound like this live. Listen to this shit. That's amazing. Are you watching it, Lee?
Yeah, what's bad about this?
It was so dirty, and it's so We'll talk continue this later. It's my main man. Answer that.
Good morning.
Oh, shit. It's the man.
What's up, brother?
How are you, my friend?
Having a cup of coffee, talking to you. I'm good.
Thank you very much for calling in. For people who don't know, this is the man, Mr. Rocco Urbisi. Rocco, give him a little bit of your background. And look at Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew, is sweating already because he can't wait to talk to you, Rocco. So give us a little background there.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. My career started with actually music show called The Midnight Special. And
which you had everybody on there.
Oh, yeah, we had everybody. It's, you know, Marvin Gaye. We toured with Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review. We did Bowie in London with Ziggy Stardust.
You had Aerosmith on there?
I'm sorry?
You had Aerosmith on there?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Well, the only bands that wouldn't do it were the Grateful Dead, the Stones, Beatles, of course, and Zeppelin. But we pretty much got. And the other one I was sorry we never got was Cat Stevens. In fact, I went to meet him over there at Records. I thought maybe we were going to get him to the show, and he waved me into his office, and he had me sit down, and he played his favorite duet, and that was Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell's
Ain't Nothing Like the Real.
Yeah, he was a real R&B fan. And on that show, of course, I met Pryor and Carlin. Oh, let's see, Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin. And then when I left Midnight, I approached Richard to do a TV series, and he did a special, and we did that short-run NBC series that he quit over controversy. And that was kind of a snowball. After that came SCTV and Lily Tomlin and my association with HBO. And let's see, did specials with Roseanne, Jimmy Fox, and of course, Billy Crystal, and of course my long fortunate run with George Carlin, in which I produced and directed the last 10 HBO specials. So that's it in a nutshell.
You're a bad motherfucker, goddamn. Lee Syatt, hit him up with some questions for this man here.
Hey Rocco, I don't know if you know if but Joe, I first heard about you from Joey when you were on his last podcast, and the first thing he told me to do is go watch JoJo Dancer, which is the Richard Pryor movie that you directed with him, wrote and directed with him. And it just
I didn't direct it; he directed it.
Oh, he directed it.
Yeah, we wrote the script in. I got a phone call, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm on the toilet." He said, "Let me take the shit, come to Columbia, we're going to write a movie together." Yeah, we went to Hana and wrote that. We wrote that in Hana. I flew into Hana, and we used to meet every morning. And by the time I came back within 3 weeks, we had written about 160-some pages.
Jesus. And for most people, a page is a minute for a movie, so 160 pages is a long movie. But it blew my mind, and I started working with Joey because I love comedy, I have your IMDb page up, which I know probably isn't even full. But
yeah, I never go there, so yeah, I don't know what's on there.
Over 10 George Carlin specials and all the other movies, and Robert Schimmel and it's
Robert was a great comic, by the way.
Great comic.
Yeah. It's just
a great comic and a good friend. His passing is very hard to pick.
And Gary Shandling and Joe Piscopo, and it's just
Shandling, that was Shandling's first special, and his manager time was Brad Gray. Of course, went on to do Grossing Gray, and of course now runs Paramount. I see Gary once in a while. I had dinner with him about 3 years ago. I happen to think Gary Shandling's one of the, he's a brilliant writer, and an incredible talent. He just doesn't come out of the cave, you know. He's reluctant to do television again, which is kind of sad. And then I did Just for Last for HBO, and that's when I first met Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow. And just for someone who, like me, who's at the very beginning of his career, just so it's for people who don't understand, and just because I don't fully know either, is there anyone else who even directed five of someone's specials, or like is that something that's even heard of? It doesn't seem like it should be.
Well, in terms of Carlin. You have to factor in two things. First of all, nobody does 15 specials anymore, and he did 15 for HBO. I was fortunate to do the last 10. So in terms of me individually, I don't think there'll ever be another guy that does 10 specials with one guy. I mean, that or a woman. I just think that I think Joey will agree to this. The golden age of stand-up started in the 80s when HBO was a network trying to find an identity, and they went in the direction of comedy and stand-up comedy for several reasons. One, they weren't in the business to do scripted shows or had a budget or the foresight to do it because they were young and they were new. So what happened is they just started, you know. They did Robert Klein, Eddie Izzard. I mean, you look at the list of stand-up comedians. That was the golden age of stand-up comedy. I think one year I directed a Carlin, a Billy Crystal, and a Whoopi Goldberg, all in one year. And the reason that was fun is because when you do a special, you get paid well, and it's over, you know? And you have all these wonderful relationships. That's how I met Whoopi. That's how I went on their exec producer talk show. So it was those relationships that were built during that era. Now I think what's happened, and it's a little more difficult. Jerry knows I'm working with two terrific girls, and Carly and Donnie. They're extremely talented. But the marketplace is loaded. You know, it's hard to keep track of who is next. And I think that era is over, much like, you know, the golden age of rock and roll was from, you know, the 60s to 70s. So everything has an evolution. I think we'll see something or something evolve, or something will come through now, because, you know, and Joey knows this, my first love, I started out in the music business, but my first love was stand-up comedy, because anybody who can stand up in front of people and think they can make them laugh, I mean, you know, every 10 or 15 seconds got to be nuts.
Absolutely.
That's why I love them. They're all crazy. Joey's crazy. They're all crazy.
I got a question for you, Rocco. When you're directing a special, what are you looking for from the comedian? And what is the comedian looking for from you?
Well, my attitude about I'll take any guy, but let's take George in particular. Before I did a special with George, I went on the road with him. I saw the act that was 65 minutes or 70 minutes be reduced to the hour that HBO required. And then we went down to Comedy and Magic. So I put a lot of pre-work in there. And the reason I did that is I wanted to know the act as well as he did. And when I did the show, from a director's point of view, I only blocked the opening and the closing. And the rest of the show, I just winged it. I went with George. I didn't direct George. George told me where to go. So I looked at it as music. You know, we used to stage the Carlin shows like rock and roll specials. We gave it size and big production because I think he deserved that. You know, he's an icon. He deserves to have the best. So I just followed his lead. So from my point of view, it's all lyrical to me. You know, comedy is jazz. It's a form of jazz. It has a rhythm, a tempo, it has its own, everybody has a different rhythm. You know, Rodney was ba-dum, 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 right? Richard has stories, and he weaved stories in and out based on his life experiences or his point of view. Everything George did was written word for word. Everything he said on stage was on the page. And his genius was, you never knew that. You would watch him, and you forget that everything he did on stage, every word was on the page. And he worked hard to the point where if he said, if HBO said you want, they wanted 58:30, you could set your clock at 58:30, that guy walked off stage.
Now, I don't know if it was his last special or not, but he opened with, I think it might have been his last special, he opened with an amazing, like, it was almost like a spoken word, like, kind of almost poem, or he was describing himself, and it was just, I've never seen anything like that before. Was it his last special?
Are you talking about Modern Man?
Yes.
No, Modern Man was the second last special.
Second to last special.
Yeah, okay. And the irony of that is that we always would discuss what the set would look like, and there's a famous graveyard. When you come in from New York, you can see it on the parkway. You want to reproduce a graveyard. So Bruce Ryan and I came up with a graveyard set, and it turns out to be poetic, you know, second last special. But Modern Man, I think, is probably maybe right now when you read it or listen to it, it's as good as anything he's ever written. And he's very sick, by the way, that show. We did the dress rehearsal. We always did a dress rehearsal on Friday. You know, we videotaped it in case during the live show something happened with the uplink and the satellite went down, they could always punch in the tape show from Friday. And after the Friday show, we were very concerned that he may not come out. He was very sick. But, you know, he was a warrior. You know, you have to love what you have to love what you do. You have to remember it's a job, but you have to love your job. And the ones that are successful love their job. There's no accidents. Nobody just makes it because, you know, you got to work at it. You have to really be dedicated to your art. And when you're around people, I've been blessed. I must say, I don't know why me, I've been very blessed. And I learned a great deal. You know, I went to school as a kid, and Richard Pryor, and my girlfriend said something very interesting. I said, you know, Marina, I'm very lucky. You know, Pryor and Carlin, she said, Richard probably trusted you because you were young and innocent, and George trusted you because you weren't. Oh, I think that's true. But you're talking about Modern Man. Yeah, it's pretty special.
I'll tell you, Rocco, you're a bad dude. Just being around Pryor, the education. Even when I talk to your son, Jay, and he says he remembers Richard at his house or whatever, being around genius.
I'll tell you a quick story. Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. Remember, I was really young. I was like, what, 24?
And that's all I am.
Yeah, and I, by the way, he called me nigger once in front of his friends. They didn't like that. You know, it's like you calling me a WOP, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, it was very funny. Anyway, he invites me to his house for dinner. He calls me up and he said, and he always had this low voice, Rocco, it's Richie. What are you doing tonight? I said, I don't know, man, what's up? Have dinner, no women. He's like, oh my God, I'm married at the time. I think this is going to just be not a good idea. So I go over there, I'm sitting at the table. There was eight of us, the only white guy there, sitting two chairs down from me. Is Miles Davis. Doesn't say anything during the dinner. The other gentleman at the table is the great Oscar Peterson. During dinner, Miles says to Richie, hey Rich, who's the cracker? So the only time he spoke. But then we went into the room, and of course, Oscar Peterson played for about an hour and a half. Look, you know, we all have our stories. We all, you know, Joe, you have yours, and if you spend, you know, I've been spending time with Richard Lewis. I've been working on a documentary with him, and you know, we spend once a week, which is called the Hooker's Lounge, which is the bar over at the Four Seasons on Beverly Hills. It's about 1 o'clock. Somebody pretty shows up and sits at the bar, but I sit there and listen to Richard, and I didn't know that Richard Lewis is a big Buster Keaton fan. Buster Keaton and Lenny Bruce are his inspirations. Now, go figure that. George Carlin had Lloyd Byron. You know, he read Lloyd Byron and Oscar Wilde. I mean, they all have, everybody has an influence. You know, Richard was came out of a jazz love. You know, if you listen, go back and watch Richard's routines. You know, he's doing Charlie Parker. You know, these guys were unique. I tell Carly and Downey all the time, if you want to really be, if you really want to be where you want to be, you have to appreciate the roots and the people who started this. You know, we forget that back in the Catskills, when they started all this stuff in the late 20s and 30s, there was no rules for comedy. You know, guys like Chaplin and Keaton, and they invented it. And then, of course, you look talking about Burrell and all those guys in the Catskills. I mean, they invented this form. So I hope comedy keeps reinventing itself. And there's some really funny stuff on. You agree, Joey?
Oh, my God. There's some great guys working. It's funny that I always claim Richard for opening up my eyes to stand up, but the guy that really destroys me is Lenny Bruce. When I watch Lenny Bruce for hours, I could watch that.
Well, listen, without Lenny Bruce, Lenny Bruce doesn't say fuck and get arrested. You know, we don't have this conversation. Somebody had to fall on the grenade, right? Somebody had to take the hit for everybody, and that's why he's so revered and admired. And he did it. Yeah, George. Anybody I've worked with, George, Richard, named him Whoopi, all of them. They go back to Lenny. You know, he is Babe Ruth. He was Babe Ruth, and that's the person who opened the door for everybody. And I think that's easy to understand. And he paid a price.
When I heard. Was it Something I Said and the Nigger's Crazy? As a Cuban kid, you know, people have to understand where I was coming from. You follow me? I learned English, and I was trying to learn good English, Rocco. I'm trying to learn English, and I'm trying to fit in an Italian neighborhood in New York, and then in New Jersey in the early 70s. And I go to this Puerto Rican's house who's on heroin, and he's nodding. Rocco, he's fucking nodding, and I'm playing basketball with his younger brother. And we go in his room, and we're listening to the Beatles, and this junkie comes in, and he goes, what the fuck are you guys listening to? I had to be maybe 8, Rocco, maybe 9. And he puts on, Is It Something I Said? And, you know, the other one where Wino meets Dracula, and Wino meets the other guy at the railroad death pole. He knew Jesus. He told him not to go down there messing with them Jews without no money. The first time, Rocco, do you understand me? My fucking head almost exploded. When I hear the Wino meets Dracula, I've played it on this fucking podcast because it is something that is so craziness and so absurd to me. But then on the other hand, I hear the brilliance of, I don't know what the special I put on by George Carlin, because they're all on YouTube now. So,
well, because I think part of the thing that, and don't interrupt you, but part of the thing that makes the people who do this art, I think people forget that comics see things in a visual. They have a visual a camera that constantly clicks. They see images, and they see situations. And they absorb them, and they kind of turn them into a moment. I'll tell you one of the funniest moments I ever experienced with Richard. It wasn't on TV. We're standing in the hall at NBC. We're blocking. Remember Luanda Page?
Yes. She played...
Oh, my God. She was hysterical.
But she played... So what's a famous role in Luanda Page? Aunt Esther.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
She played Aunt Esther, correct?
Yeah, and she also was... She did some bits on Fryer. He loved her.
Right.
So we're on a break, and we're the powering Richard, and we're setting the shots. And here comes Billy Barty. Now, if you didn't know who Billy Barty was... Joey, I'll tell you, Bill Barty, today he's called Little Person, but back in the day, he was called the Midget, right? So I see Billy Barty approaching us, and his Richard's back is to him. He tugs on Richard's jacket. Richard turns around, and Billy says, "Hey, Richie, how you doing?" And Richard says, "Hey, Billy, have you bumped into any good pussy lately?"
And what the guy said.
Now that line I gave you was as fast as he delivered it. But look what he did in that 3 seconds. He saw a little person that was below his waist, and the very first thing he says, not "Hello, how you doing? What you doing?" He says, "Hey, Billy, have you bumped into any good pussy lately?" Now that. It's not only funny in terms of line, but look how visual that is. You see that joke.
Hey, Rocco, I've been thinking about something as I've been listening to you talking. How important was it for you as a director and a writer, or how even just working with them, can you talk about the relationship you had with it, Pryor and Carlin? Because I work with... what Joey and I do, and we did it yesterday for the first time in a couple weeks, is we met at a coffee shop. And it's supposed to be talking about business, but we talked like 5 minutes about business, and then he spends 45 minutes joking around with me. But how much of what you did was because of the love you had for the people you worked with?
Everything. And I think the other thing that I have learned, here's the one thing I learned from Richard. He always encouraged open expression. He never wanted us to edit ourselves. I remember in a meeting, our very first meeting, he said, "I don't want anybody to edit themselves in this room. Whatever you have to say, you have to say. Whatever idea you come up with is great." And Jeffrey Turner raised his hand and said, I have a sketch called Dunk the Darkie. And that was, you see... But that was embraced as funny. He wasn't offended by that. That was Jeffrey's way of saying, okay, if we're going to be that open, here's my idea. Well, the minute somebody releases that, uninhibited, releases that, look what it does to the room. Look what it does to the atmosphere and the culture of what we're doing. People come in and say what they want. See, the great expression is freedom. You have to be able to communicate and to express yourself openly without fear of repercussion. You know, that's why sometimes you'll if you're working with the right person who embraces that, then you're working with a person that really wants your participation. Nobody's tougher to work with than Lily Tomlin. Nobody. She's tough, but she's gracious. She wants you to be. She wants you to be open. She wants your participation. She wants your help. And the other thing you have to be with talent is completely honest. They may not always want to hear what you have to say, but that's your point of view, and you have to express it. You can't express it later. You're the worst kind of person. Well, I knew that wasn't going to work. You can't say that. You gotta say it at the moment. I don't think this is right. I have a problem with this. Now, ultimately, if you're the star of the show, you are going to make the final decision. But if you're surrounded with people that are just telling you what you want to hear. It's even in my position. If I'm directing, and you're my AD, and Joey's my producer, I don't want them telling me how great I am every day. I want them to tell me what's not working.
Yeah, and it's funny that you brought up being tough. A lot of people my age, and everyone else, but especially my age, I've noticed people don't like working for bosses who are tough. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Joey's been completely easy to work with. Like, people like him, and I know he'd hate if I compared him to Richard, but people like that, they're not always going to be the easiest to work with, but it's the most rewarding, at least so far for me. And it's crazy that people would give up or just not work with them, but you have to roll with it, and that's what makes them special.
Because he's honest.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest ego is the show. It's the show, it's the film, it's the play. That's the biggest ego. You have to service that ego. Because when you're mounting something, you want to mount the best thing you can mount. But you have to service that. You have to make sure that that's being serviced, whether you're the star of it or the director. You know, that's what you service. If you're always kissing somebody's ass, it's never going to go anywhere.
No.
You know, and so, listen, I've said things during my course that people didn't appreciate. You know, I've had my tussles. I got a little spat with Roseanne, but it wasn't over personality. It was over a different, a different opinion. And you have to express that opinion. But I will tell you this. I have never had, and I don't know why, I can't tell you, I have never had a major confrontation with any comedian I've worked with. Never. I've had disagreements, I've had discussions, but I've never gotten to the point where, you know, I thought that person was a complete asshole and I didn't want to work with them anymore, or that person went behind my back and got me fired. And I think the reason that is I really do believe this. You have to be upfront and direct, and you have to be honest, and they have to trust you. The minute you lose trust, it's over. If you're a director and you lose the trust of your crew, it's over.
I'm going to tell you something, Rocco.
You have to respect the person you work with, and the person has to respect you. And from my point of view, there's not enough money to pay me if I'm being disrespected.
I'm going to tell you something, Rocco. You hit it on the head with something. But this kid across from me, 2 years ago, I was dead, Rocco. I was going to get a job selling cars right here in the Valley. I was going to keep auditioning, and I was going to do stand-up locally. And he hit me up on Facebook, and we started talking, and we met, and we started doing videos together. And it's really weird, Rocco, that it took a 23-year-old kid to get my career turned around. We've released an album. It was number one on Billboard and the charts. We released four storytelling things, Testicle Testaments. And it's been him pushing me. You follow me on this, Rocco?
Yes, sir, because I'll tell you something. You can equate this to sports. There's never been a team of all rookies or all veterans that have won a championship. It's the combination of youth and experience. And I think when you get to the point, I'm working with a lot of really young people. You know, Carly and Donnie and I, our relationship is very unique. You know, they're young and they're making mistakes, but you know something? That's what they're supposed to do. I'm there to make, you know, they're going to trip. I'm just there to make sure they don't fall. You know, and when you have a combination of that, and I understand. I mean, I'm not. I understand. I've come to a certain point where I'm getting respect, but I don't think about it. I don't think about it. And the fact that somebody wants to say that about me, that's really nice. But I'm about working. I want to keep working. It's about the work. This is about work. All the other stuff doesn't matter. You got Emmy and my thing, whatever. All these awards, they're just trophies. They don't mean really nothing. Yes, congratulations for doing a great thing, and you get an award, but awards are objective. You know, how does Argo not get nominated for an Academy Award? I don't understand that. But you can't be in control of that. You win an award, you don't win an award, it's not going to change your life. What's going to change your life is how you work, how you approach your work, what you do, your love of what you do. And I think that's all that matters. At the end of the day, that's what you have anyway. So I see that you're going in this direction that's right. I've done the same thing. It's nurturing. They give because they want to learn. You give back because you have learned. And when you share and you combine those two energies, how can it lose? You know, you can't. It's any walk of life. You know, I got a basketball team, my Cavaliers. They got four of the youngest rookies around. They're all going to start in the Classic, and there's rumor that LeBron will go back to Cleveland when he's done in Miami. He's the missing link if he goes back. A team that can't make it a playoff, this one superstar veteran to blend with those kids, and look what happens. It's no different than you working or me working with enthusiastic, bright people who want to learn and are giving you everything that they want to give you, and you give back. And I think it's great, Joey. It did turn your life around. When I saw Carly and Donnie in that mic club three and a half years ago, at 1 a.m, I never thought about getting into management. But I said to myself, I want to be involved in something from the ground floor. I like these girls. I think they're talented. And I'm going to go with them. And now things are starting to happen. And it's really rewarding. It's probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever experienced. Because, you know, when I met Pryor, he was a star. When I met George, he was a star. When I met Billy, he was a star. When I met Whoopi, he was a star. When I met Roseanne, she was going to be a star. These kids make it. Look how rewarding that is for me. And look how much fun I've had seeing that happen. It's the same thing you're doing.
Rocco, I don't mean to knock you off. How old are you now, Rocco?
Don't go there.
No, I need to know.
Why?
Because I want these motherfucking youngsters to see at any age the enthusiasm and the heart you have for life. And I run into 20-year-olds that are moping around with fucking sandals on, you know, telling you how bad life is. And I'm on the phone with a guy that's remotivated me. And I know that I'm going to be 50 next Tuesday. And you got a couple of years on me. So
I got some years on you.
But you're a bad motherfucker, Uncle Rocco, honestly.
I got a few more years on you. But here's the deal. I'll tell you why. Age to me, my mother told me this. You know, I'm the son of immigrant parents who had me late in life. They both were married before. They both lost their first spouses when they remarried. My dad was close to 60, my mom close to 40. So I was raised by very, very elderly people. And the one thing that they were was they had a lust for life. They really did. I got that from my mom. And I think that carries over. And my dad was a taskmaster, but he was really a kind man. And I think those influences carried me over. I've had my problems. I've had my tragedies. We all have those. You know my history, Joey. And I have a son, you know, who's finally found himself. And it doesn't matter when, but you know that if a person has a good heart, a good person, and has a love of what they do, they will eventually get there. So thank you. But what keeps me stimulated are these conversations, being around young people who are so enthusiastic and want to learn. And I kind of feel bad for them in a way because it's much harder. But you can't let that get in your way. You have to believe that you and your voice will be heard. That's all you have to do. And you have to work at it every day, and you get a break. And look at Joey. You've been around a while. You know what's happening. You know, you restarted your engine. You didn't quit. You could have thrown in the towel, but you didn't because you love what you do. Isn't that true?
No, I'm like Richard Gere in Office of the Gentleman. I got nowhere else to go.
And you're dead, right?
I got nowhere else to go. Rocco, I love you in all my heart, brother. I will call you next week because I'm going to put a special together and I want your name on it somewhere, Rocco. So.
Yeah, by the way, you never told me your name.
My real name?
No. Your friend's name.
Which one?
The guy's been talking to me.
Oh, my name is Lee.
Lee
Syed.
Yeah.
And I call him the Flying Jew.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Well, I can't explain how amazing that was to just listen and talk to you. I told when you were on the first podcast, I must have listened to it 5 times in 2 days. So.
We're gonna get together for lunch, and I'm gonna bring him down, Rocco. All right?
Yeah, we'll sit down and talk more. Joey, thanks for inviting me.
Thank you,
but
no, you're back on in about 3 weeks. I love you, Rocco. You're a good man, and I'll.
All right.
I'm going to stop by Jay this week. You too.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
And we're going to switch right to another call.
Yo! What's up?
What's happening?
Oh, shit. It's my brother. Oh, shit. Listen, for you people who don't know, it's Ari Shaffir, and this is very special, and I'm going to tell you why. Hit him. Yeah. Tell him why it's so special, Ari.
There's no other person in the world I would get up this early for.
And I got to tell you, you sound fucking great, Ari.
Yeah, I try to get up 10 minutes early, so exercise voice. I go, la, 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 la.
No, you sound really good. I've seen you on a plane at 8 in the morning. You don't do too fucking good.
No, people say, huh? And I just go,
Yeah, he doesn't do too good. You sound, what's going on, buddy?
I'm driving home from this girl's house. I made myself sleep over at somebody's house so I could be awake to call right home.
What, how's the DVD doing? Tell us about this DVD fucking D. Lee has watched it twice, and he loves it.
Oh, yeah, I bought it, like, I'm a Jew, too, so I bought it the day before for $4, but it's awesome.
Save the dollar.
Yeah, gotta.
Why would you waste the dollar when you can just save the dollar?
Because these Christians don't know what they're doing.
What else is going on, buddy? How you been?
I'm good. Yeah, the DVD's out. Passive Aggressive.
Okay, and where do they find it at?
Not DVD. Special.
Special.
It's online. Chill.com.
Chill.com. Go to chill.com. It's a fin. Get out. Yeah. What else is going on, buddy? How you been?
I've been great. I went to North Carolina. Had fun.
Okay.
Hung out at the NC State dining hall.
How was that?
Move around. It was fun. I like watching college kids.
All right, and where are you headed to right now? You gonna go home to sleep, or you staying up?
Fuck yeah! No, I'm not staying up. I'm gonna go to sleep. I might stop by a Brugger's Bagels, get something with some capers on it.
Oh yeah!
One. Yeah, otherwise, I got.
It's a good fucking day to eat a nice bagel and go back to bed, smoke a half a joint, nice and stoned.
It's about to get real nice too in L.A.
Yeah. What'd you do last night?
I went out. I guess it's my birthday, so this girl wanted to go out. So we went out downtown, went to some Italian restaurant. Smoked out of that hash pen. I put wax in that hash pen. It hits real strong.
Oh, my God. I'm stoned to the gills. I'm hitting some wax this morning. I got from the Chill 209 guys. I am fucking wrecked. I was sitting here listening to Rocco going, what the fuck? Was it your birthday yesterday, Ari?
What? Yeah, it was my birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, dude. Thank you.
I'm going to be 50 next Tuesday, the 19th.
What? 50? Yeah,
fucking 50 next Tuesday. So I'm going to have...
What do you think the odds are that you go to 100?
Huh?
What do you think the odds are that you see 100?
I got a good chance. Especially if I keep smoking dope, I'm smoking it. Even if I have like a third of a lung and I'm connected with another thing and they have me on my Channel 4 News... He made it to 100, yeah. A bunch of old people smoking dope. I got some like 90-year-old sucking my dick. It's a party.
I can see you hooked up to an IV machine, and the IV machine a steady THC drip.
Oh, wouldn't that mix with some heroin, mix with some Led Zeppelin? Forget about it. While we're at it, let me hit this fucking vapor pen. Yeah, I like this little, this is an illegal substance, but who gives a fuck? We're on national television. This is what Charlie Sheen can't do on anger management.
You have the leeway.
Who's better than me? I'm sitting here talking to two Jews smoking wax. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Where are you next week, buddy?
I'm home for a few weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to Long Island. I'm going to hang out with Renazisi and shoot something, and then I'm going to look for an apartment.
You're going to move to Long Island?
No, I'm just going to look for an apartment in Manhattan or Brooklyn.
Okay. Are you working the club in Long Island?
Yeah, Governor's.
Governor's is a great club. I love Mark, man. Mark and his wife are good fucking people. You know, you work for all these club owners, and he's the only motherfucker that called me Christmas Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was like, hey, man, I can't wait to have you back in May, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm working with this guy for me. This guy calls me on fucking Christmas Day.
I don't talk to many of them, but I saw him in Montreal, and he introduced himself. He's like, I think we're trying to get a day for you to work, you know, come out there and work. I was like, yeah. And he goes, hey, you like a volcano? I was like, yeah, I don't know, yeah. He goes, yeah, you'll come over. Use my volcano.
Yeah, he's got the volcano right in the fucking green room. You got to love it.
Really? In the green room?
Yeah. It's a great little club, man. You know, it got a bad little name for a while there because it was run by that management company who were a bunch of fucking mooks anyway. But Mark took it over, and I think Seinfeld's been going back in there, and Colin Quinn, and
oh, really?
You know, a lot of guys living in Long Island.
All it takes is a manager to fucking switch up a business completely. You go to a restaurant that's good for a while, then all of a sudden it starts sucking, and every day it sucks all of a sudden. And you're like, what happened? They got a new manager. They changed the fucking chef or the menu or something, the ingredients.
I can't stand when a new manager comes in. Remember when we were at the store and Shelly came in with that thing that you couldn't smoke pot on the property?
You want all the employees and the community to sign a waiver saying you would not smoke pot.
I just crimpled property. It up and threw it at her, as disrespectful as it was. But that was disrespectful what she was doing to me, telling me I can't smoke pot at the Comedy Store. That's like saying you can't eat pussy at the Bunny Ranch. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck
it's
am
like
you
saying, don't take warm-up swings in batting practice.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you fucking miserable mutt?
She was gone in like 10 days after that.
That's right. Who's better? Look at my man, Best Andy, Bad Andy. Who's better than me? I'm talking to two Jews and smoking wax. That's it. I want you to call in more often.
I'll do it when I'm up. What do you do, Mondays and Wednesdays?
Mondays and Wednesdays, and we do a special one on Yarmulke, on Hanukkah for Sunday, so... That's when I got all my favorite fucking Jews calling up. We might do one this Sunday.
You do one for special Jew holidays? You should do one for Jew holidays.
Yeah. Just for special Jew holidays so everybody's happy.
It's like if Passover falls out on a Thursday, then skip Wednesday and just do it Thursday.
Fuck yeah. That's our new rule. We're covering all the Jew holidays. We're going to get a fucking menorah. We're going to get Jeremiah. We're going to get to leave Jeremiah, leave the door open. Nah, the Jews don't partake in the summer. They take off, like, after March. They're like, fuck it, it's too deep. Oh, shit! Talking about the Jews, you know what today is?
What?
Ash motherfucking Wednesday. That's why the Pope... That's why the Pope quit, because he didn't want to give nothing up for Lent. I still got it, cocksuckers. That's why the Pope quit, that dirty motherfucker. He didn't want to give chocolate and fingers in the ass up for Lent. You know what I'm saying?
He quit. I like that he quit.
Yeah, he just tapped out. He tapped out like Rampage. I ain't coming back, bitches. All right, Ash Wednesday is 6 weeks before Easter. And you give something up for the suffering that, you know, like you give something. I don't know what I'm giving up yet. I was thinking of giving up edibles.
Shut up.
Except for Monday when I bury fucking Lee and his father. I got to make a deal with Jesus just to... I don't know. I got to give something up. I don't know about the edibles. I got to give something up.
What can you give up? What can you give up one of the cats?
Nah, one of the cats already fucking died. I already gave one of them to Jesus.
What?
Yeah, Finney died. The older one. The older one died about... In fact, it'll be 4 weeks this Friday. Please, my wife is just getting over it. Please.
What do the other ones do? Do they, like, leave it alone or just sit there?
No. It didn't die at the house. We had to put them down.
Oh, man.
But Fidel is fucking beside himself. Sissy's okay. The ones he came up with, Fidel and Sissy, he's beside himself. He hasn't been the same. Nobody to give him baths. Nobody attacks him. You know how that goes.
Oh, really? They give him leeway?
Yeah, so he's pretty sad.
They give him room? Hey, did it work that way in prison, too?
What's that? When a cat died?
No. If somebody lost a loved one, and people, like, leave him alone for a while, fucking with you.
Listen, people are going to fuck you in the ass whether or not things are going good in your life. You know what I'm saying? Just always remember that.
They don't care if you're fucked.
Nah. Your mother dies, you're sucking double dick tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
Your father dies, you're sucking three dicks on a dead ball. Fuck it. So what's the webpage they got to go to, you dirty bitch?
Chill out, chill.com, or my website. There's a banner on top there, ariadegrace.com. Right. But yeah, I'm selling this own CD. You're doing one too, not CD, fucking special.
Hopefully, I'll do one from a fucking prison.
Yeah, it's the best idea. He told me that. He was like, we were talking, the guy, you know, the chill, and he's like, we want to do different ones. It was Maria Bamford in her parents' just apartment. Just in front of the two of them. She goes, I want to do one in prison. And I was like, oh, you got to get your ideas. And then I thought about it for another, like, till the next day or something. And I saw him again. I was like, you know, I was thinking more about it. There's nobody better to film a special at a prison than Joey fucking Diaz.
You know what? I just got caught up in a fantasy of sucking Maria Bamford's titties. I don't know why. I swear to God. I like Maria Bamford. She's cute. I would suck a little skinny pussy. Skinny chicks got good pussies. Don't get like those bony chicks. their pussies are thicker than everybody else's. It's like they got extra protection around their pussy. You got a pussy that's skinny like bony. Jesus, like bony, like ribs. Her pussy's like a big, thick steak. Like, it's thicker, it smells different. I like all that dirty shit. I'm talking to the fly. I'm talking to the Jews. Who the fuck? If I'm not going to be dirty with some people, I'm going to be dirty with Jews. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck?
It's just like pastrami. Extra lean is not always better.
That's right. My man over here was telling me something interesting yesterday, Lee Syatt. He said that it would be so hard for me to get into Israel. Because I got an idea, Ari. Nobody has ever gone to the wall. Everybody always goes to the wall and puts notes in there, pray for... Nobody's ever gone to that wall and put a $100 bill on that motherfucker. You go to that wall and fill that motherfucker up with 20s and tell him, I'm going back to the track. Do what you need to do. Nobody. So I was thinking of going over there. Fuck yeah, going over there, going right to the wall and putting 100 in there. What? How you like me now? And he's like,
I don't remember you. I'm like, hold on. What's happening?
What the? You put a fucking 100 in that wall, those fucking Jews won't know what to do. But he was saying it's very hard for a Latino, a fucking non-Israeli.
No. Well, I've only flown El Al, and they give even Jews a hard time. Do you think he'd have to fly like through Europe and like hide, or especially with his record?
The record might be a thing.
Yeah,
Israel has a long history of accepting criminals.
But they didn't
Jews,
I don't think they took Meyer Lansky.
They didn't take Meyer. Well, he was too much trouble.
He offered them $1 million cash, and they told him no. Then he offered them like $3 million, and they're like, "Well, think about it. We'll get back to you." And they're like, "No." They wouldn't let him. Then Argentina wouldn't take him. It was fucking crazy. Remember, he offered Israel money.
Yeah, that was amazing. Because you think they would for money? They don't give a fuck. But okay, we need it to buy weapons. They had a guy in my high school. He played on my basketball team. His younger brother was a bad kid, sold dope, or I don't know which one dope is, whatever weed is. And then him and his friend killed some guy. It was like in 9th to 10th grade. They bullied some guy and killed him in a cabin and then chopped him up, put him in a furnace. And then they were on to them. They caught the one guy. And then my friend's brother, since he had money, they just escaped to Israel. And Israel took him and said, here are the options. You either do your time in a prison in Israel, or you can serve 4 years in the military, and then we'll call it even. The guy said, good enough. 4 years in the military it is. That's what everybody here does anyway. And he did his time in the military, and now he lives in Israel. He can't come back to America. They'll always take you if you're Jewish.
I would love to join the military at this age and shit. Just give orders. Get down and do 10, cocksucker.
That's how badass Meyer Lansky was. They'll take anybody if you're a Jew. And they said, nah, you just done.
Yeah, I got to look that up. I think they turned down Meyer Lansky. His own country turned him down for something. We got to look it up. And that's it, Shafi. I love you, cocksucker. I'm happy the CD's going well. I'm happy you're happy and you're doing well.
Yeah, the special's really good. I'm glad. I looked at it. It looks really cool. I don't do any of that cheesy shit in there. The audience reaction shot, it's all fucking the way I like it.
Okay.
It's all the way I want it. Yeah, they're cool.
That's why I love
you do your own special.
No, I'm excited. I just had Rocco Urbisi on, the guy that directed Richard Pryor's specials. And
he directed, have him do it.
He directed 10 George Carlin specials. Yeah, I've been talking to him. In fact, he came to me.
Have him do your special from the prison.
He came to me 2 years ago and asked me about the prison, but he wanted to do a special with a couple comedians. Me, Daryl Wright, a couple of us that had gotten locked up. Now he's just going to go single, so let's see what happens.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
All right, cocksucker.
What would you do it? What prison would you do it in? Which one were you at?
I would like to do Boulder, like Boulder County Jail. Like, I would like to do the one where I shot the longest yard in, where they had the, that's a good prison to shoot it at. And I would like to shoot it also maybe in a jail in Northern California. Here's the beauty of it. When I shoot it, the movie I'm shooting with De Niro and those guys gets released November 15th. I'm going to release this November 18th, the day that I got arrested for kidnapping Kent Vella. It's a 26th anniversary. Why not take it deep and meaningful? You follow me?
Dude, I love when I tell people from Canada, they're like, hey, when's Joey Diaz coming here? I'm like, Joey Diaz can't. They're like, oh, why? I'm like, you know, arrests, felonies. And they're like, Canadian laws are so stupid. People have DUI laws. Like, one DUI by accident, now they can't get into Canada. And I was like, no. Don't kid yourself. Yeah. That's for kidnapping by a machine gun. this ain't no DUI. Like, oh, I had two beers instead of one and a half. I didn't realize.
This ain't no Michael Jackson. This ain't Thriller, cocksucker.
Yeah, exactly. He's a hardcore.
All right, so you in town next Tuesday? You in town next Tuesday?
A week from Tuesday, yeah.
All right, my wife wants to have a get-together in the afternoon, so leave it open. Some happy hour or something at the house or somewhere. So leave it open, all right?
Okay. Hors d'oeuvres? Can I bring some pigs in a blanket?
No, no fucking pigs in a blanket and out at my house. This is like a Dolce hors d'oeuvre night. You got to eat like celery sticks with fucking, with whitefish in there.
Like, oh, nice.
Oh, nice little piece of whitefish.
You know what
fish
I got to take you to? I know what I got to take you to one day. A nice kiddish. A nice kiddish after a synagogue service.
Where?
They put the whitefish salad out.
Oh.
And they put little cookies and crane and herring.
Some pickled herring right now. Good googly moogly. You like pickled herring?
Yeah, all the dirty Jews are trying to shake hands and say hi, but they're all eyeing the table. Like, the herring's going.
I like that white fish with the cream.
Yeah,
Or the herring come in the cream? Both of them?
No, the white fish comes in the cream. The herring is just like, I'll let it get pickled.
I bought it one time in a jar and it wasn't that good. The place I used to get it in New York was fucking delicious. I don't know what they did to it. Everybody else, they don't know how to make it out of here. These cocksucking Jews out here, they're no good.
Dude, I went to a Cuban place last time I was in New York. Went on Yelp and found something with 4.5 stars. It was like $10. It was the most delicious food I've ever had in my life.
What did you have?
I had this drink. It was like a passion fruit drink. It was so goddamn good.
Delicious.
But then I had a split piece, like, stew with chicken in it. What is that? What is that stew they have?
Oh, it's called not garbanzo. It's called I forget. My mom used to make it when the winter come because it's so fucking thick and healthy. I forget what it's called right now off the top of my fucking head. Anyway, who gives a fuck?
What did you come over on? A raft? How'd you come over?
Plane. 66. My parents had a little bit of loot, and in those days you could still fly to Miami. You still knew some people. You had to know, like, a congressman or a senator or somebody to do paperwork for you. And by that time, my parents were all in.
And then they were there. They were here.
And then they were here. But they were here way before 59. Okay? They opened
really?
Up their first...
Up?
Yeah, they opened up their first business, like, in 55, 54. So they were here way before the revolution with Batista. What a lot of people don't understand is that when Batista got overthrown, they were delighted. Batista was the biggest thief out of all of them. Batista. Batista was horrible. He's the one that divided the country. He's the one that caused all the poverty. You know, the country was making money at the time. It was one of the number one tourist attractions, but he was keeping all the fucking money, man. They still had, you know, my family grew up poor. My mother's family grew up with 9 kids in a fucking shack. My father's family grew up money. They're from Camagüey. But, you know, when I talk to my uncle, he tells me stories. He's got tears in his eyes, you know. They grew up fucking poor. But it was, if your skin was a little dark, they were very prejudiced in Cuba. Very prejudiced.
Really?
Yeah, very prejudiced. One of the most set of prejudiced fucking people you ever meet. You know, so it was very different back then. You know, my mother already had a kid here.
Prejudiced against who?
What happened?
Prejudiced against who? The poor?
The blacks.
Cubans have black people.
A lot of black, and they're very prejudiced. And then once you got a little, like, suntan, they were, like, if you see my uncle's not black, but he's like a Mexican dude. He's like Felipe. They fucking tortured him. You know, they would torture him. So my mother was very white, you know, some of her sisters, but sometimes you're out in the sun a little longer, and the skin gets affected. If you see my uncle, you're like, he's not black. He's just fucking Spanish. But they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
If you weren't completely white.
Yeah. You realize what?
If you weren't completely white, they hated you.
Really? But wasn't everybody a little Spanish?
Everybody's Spanish, but the fucking slaves mixed in. So that gave it a different flavor.
So the darker you are, the more slave you are?
Yeah. Africa would bring the slaves there and have a market. You know, Cuba was the marketplace for the slaves, and they would take them to different places. And a lot of them got caught down there, and they became slaves, and some people fucked them like they did here, and that's why, you know, a lot of black people have the last name Washington and Jones. I don't fucking know, Ari. What is this, Black History Month, cocksucker?
That's what
it is.
Avery Johnson. had this thing with Larry Johnson. They were going to play each other in the playoffs. And they asked him how Larry Johnson, how he felt about Avery Johnson. And he goes, hey, it's great. We're on the same plantation. Why? He goes, yeah, how do you think we got the name Johnson? We work for the Johnson. Came from the same owners.
Yeah. Everyone felt so, really cool. That's what Johnson, Jones, all those fucking Washington, you know. Well, that's a complete different history lesson, Ari. What are you getting black people riled up for?
I remember the first time I saw black people could tan. I didn't know they could tan. And then I was working at Arlington National Cemetery, laying pipes down to water the lawns, and this one of the guys, Raymond something, he was like, yeah, of course black people can tan. I'm like, what do you mean? How? And he goes, look, and he takes his watch off, and it's lighter black skin underneath. I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea. I thought you just stayed that color all the time. No, it gets darker.
You're a sick fuck, Ari.
I didn't know. When you're sick, is what we used to do. When we were waiting for the truck to pick us up at the cemetery, we were just, it was so fucking hot in the D.C. summers. It was so hot, and so we had to get out of the sun. There was no shade. So we'd climb into their graves, the open graves, before they put the bodies into them. We would climb in there and just rest inside the cool graves. Is the best way to stand.
Can you see my face right now, Ari? I am disgusted.
We would do that, and then sometimes we would, when he would come, the truck would come, and he goes, where is everybody? And we'd come out of the graves like we're vampires. I'm like, yes.
When I was a kid, North Jersey has a lot of cemeteries, and I used to cut through cemeteries in the daytime. And sometimes if it was hot, I'd do a line of coke and lay in the cemetery grass. And get suntan, you know, and do that fucking last line from Snowblind, lying snowblind in the sun, just to mind fuck myself. But I never got in a hole, cocksucker.
Yeah, that, and after we laid the pipes, we had to set them off, because big, big fields, of, you know, left and right, Arlington National, those big, gigantic, you know, in order fields. And we put the sprinklers on, and we would just run through them. We would just jump and run through them. It was so much fun. We get in trouble, though. They're like, guys, people are buried here.
Yeah. Guys, respect. Yeah. There's fucking people dead here. Shit. How long did you work in the cemetery for?
Just one summer when I was 16.
You gotta tell the story. When is your next storyteller show, cocksucker?
Oh, I just got the deal memo. The digital. We're gonna do one online for Comedy Central.
When are you doing it?
Well, you're doing it too.
When are you doing?
They're picking up the date. I don't know. They're going to shoot it really nice. We're going to look at locations downtown. You're doing it.
All right.
Whatever we do, you're doing it. We're going to do it on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, so people will be in town.
All right. Well, we had to cancel Laugh Factory, but we're probably going to bring it back up in April, do like a Pink Floyd type show. And that's it. I got to get out of here, Ari. I love you with all my heart. I'm happy that the CD's selling well. Where can they go get it again?
Chill.com.
Chill.com, bitches. Five fucking dollars. Go there today. Support that squad. We'll keep fucking giving you content and jumping up and down and showing you our dick and everything. I love you, cocksucker.
Love you too, Joey.
Have a good day, and thank you very much for calling. Throw a kiss to your fucking Jewish buddy there.
Going right back to bed.
That's fire. Right. Have a good day.
All right, talk to you later.
Stay black. Now that's a fucking podcast, cocksucker.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we don't fuck around here at the Church of What's Happening. I want to thank you guys for coming on and watching and supporting us, and for you guys for downloading. And remember, subscribe. We got to get people fucking listening to this shit and people. What do we got this weekend? We're not doing one on Sunday. We'll let you motherfuckers know how we feel, because your dad's coming Monday.
Saturday night.
So Monday's the big podcast, banana bread, the whole fucking thing. Oh, okay. We're going to have some chick dancing on the pole if you don't fucking get it together. And February 27th on a Wednesday, I'm at the Ice House doing Testicle Testaments. 626-577-1894. Call for tickets. And then the 28th through March 2nd, I am at the Brea Improv. So five shows. But you guys been bugging me about this, and there's two things. It was two things I wanted to talk about. Oh, real quick, thank you for all the emails I got yesterday on the commitment thing. Little commitments do become big commitments, and I'm happy that you guys saw that. Number two, the webpage is out. JoeyCocoDiaz.net.
It looks
JoeyCocoDiaz.net. 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 Tour dates, T-shirts. We got hoodies on there. We got a long sleeve shirt for you guys. We got everything there. Don't ask no more. Go support the long sleeves T-shirts. One of them is a podcast T-shirt. I get to give Lee a couple fucking dollars so he don't have to do this for free every fucking day. And mugs are coming also, too.
Oh, shit.
We're going to start having some coffee mugs so we can all drink coffee together. I'm going to get a crook up here so we can live like fucking doctors. And that's it, man. Listen, guys, it's Wednesday. Have a great fucking week. I know that we should see you before fucking Monday, but we can't because whatever. If we could, we'll do something Sunday for you. If not, have a great week. Stick to your fucking goals. Write your goals down. Start a workout. You know, write. Take a chance. Whatever the fuck you want to do, you can do it. This is your world, cocksucker. What do you got for me?
I got some Soundgarden for you.
Hit it, baby. You bad motherfucker, you. Onnit.com. Go to Onnit. And don't forget, today's your last chance. Like right now, when you we finish, right now, go to fucking Cherry's Berries right now and cut this shit, cocksucker. Stay black. Berries, how do you spell it?
B-E-R-R-I-E-S. And you're putting happening into the box with the microphone.
And it's .com. Stay black.